Good evening and welcome to Local Motion. I'm Allie Lightfoot.
I'm speaking with author Elizabeth Morrow, who's just released a novel titled Casualties. The book explores the aftermath of the Iraq War, written from the point of view of a mother of a soldier who returns from two tours of duty. It's a story that explores PTSD, being a single mother, the industry of war, private contractors, and it's a modern-day story, really, about the aftermath of war. Sounds heavy, and it is, but it's also a real page-turner, very engaging, and you get quickly immersed in the world Morrow creates, and you care about the characters. She wrote a lot of the book while visiting her son in Palisade, Colorado, and she's joining me by phone today from San Diego, where she lives. She'll be at an event at the Peach Street Distillers in Palisade this Thursday, May 19th, from 4 to 6 p.m. It's a fundraiser for Operation Revamp, an organization based in Grand Junction dedicated to helping veterans heal through the arts. Morrow will be discussing and signing copies of her books, and a portion of any book sales will go to Operation Revamp. Welcome to Local Motion, Elizabeth.
Thank you. I'm happy to be talking with you.
Before we get into talking about your book, I wanted to ask you a little bit about Operation Revamp and why you wanted to support this organization.
I have found that when I do book events, that it is much more meaningful to all of us if there's more to it than just me sitting there and signing books. And my book is about a subject that became very, very important to me as I was writing it. I don't think, you know, I lived with this subject and this book for 10 years, and looking and finding for opportunities to be helpful in the communities where I'm going to be is something that I intend to try to do. The reason I picked Operation Revamp to work with is when I was looking for a veterans program to support in Palisade. It's by way of sort of giving back to the community and also staying connected and doing what little I can do as a civilian to be aware of and try to cross the divide that often exists between veterans and civilians. I looked around and I saw and read a lot about Wendy Hoffman and her group had been doing, working with veterans to heal through the arts. It just seemed like a natural fit. I had written a book. I know that they work with people who write. They work with people who do other kinds of art. They are aimed at trying to come at that process from all kinds of ways. And I became very interested in it and contacted her, and she was very enthusiastic right from the start. So it just seemed like it was meant to be.
I got so invested in your characters. I think a lot of people will come away from this story wishing, you know, that people that need help will find it in some way.
Yes, and one thing that is true about that is there are more than one kind of person who's looking for healing in that book, and the veteran and the Marine who comes home, her son, the lead character's son, is definitely one of them, but also we can see that the family members left behind bear their own wounds.
So the story is somewhat set around the business of war and the casualties of war. Can you talk about why you chose that subject to write about? And this is your first novel, right?
Yes, it is.
And you live in San Diego, which is a military town. But how
Correct.
Did you choose this topic?
Well, in fact, living here had a lot to do with how this subject became the focus of my book. I came to it almost at the same time I came to the writing of my novel. My husband and I had just relocated from New Jersey in March of 2002 to San Diego, and it was a big life-changing moment for both of us. I started working out of my home. I continued to work full-time, but I had my own business all of a sudden instead of being at other people's beck and call entirely. And what I did is I'd always wanted to write. I'd been writing my whole life on the fringes and trying to do creative writing when I could, and I was at a point in my life where it was now or never. And so I started to literally sit down and write. I connected with people who were writers. I, you know, went about the business of starting a novel that I didn't even, I had a woman, I had a character, I knew she had a son. I knew something happened that separated them and that, you know, that something happened between them. And it became clearer and clearer to me as I was struggling through the early pages of just sitting down and trying to figure things out what that thing was. We went to war about a year after we moved here, And what had been largely, you know, something that was headline news, it was in the newspapers, but it was at a remove when I was living in the corporate sort of atmosphere of the Northeast. And I had come, as I mentioned earlier, completely from a civilian family. My father had served in the Marines, but after that, the draft, you know, when my brothers and I all came of age, it was Vietnam was just getting over, and the draft had ended. So we were not, we were not touched as deeply. But coming here, everybody was touched. It's very visible here. Families were going to war. Families were, changing right on my street, in my town, in my church. It wasn't just a headline here. And I began to really think, what if? You know, I was a single mother. My son was grown and out of the house by then. But I relived all of those moments of what if? What if this was happening to me? What if this is, and this is happening to people I know, that you say goodbye to somebody, you know, your kid who is a teenager and is growing up and suddenly is doing all the things that teenagers do, some differently than others, but basically the quest is for independence, meaning starting their own lives, and that's what they choose to go to war. What does that mean, you know, to the rest of the family and to the rest of their lives? And so all of that filtered in. At the same time, I think my experience in corporations, in my case, it was the pharmaceutical industry, but I was also very aware of that San Diego's a big military town in other ways as well. There are a lot of defense contractors here, and those were also in the headlines at that time. And I said, and I said, so what would it be like if a person, you know, what are the sort of internal and external conflicts associated with that? So I wanted to find out about that, and so the mother, Ruth Nolan, is a defense contractor. She's successful. She's been hungry all her life to have some success, and that's the area that she landed in and has done well in. Still, when her son enlists, it's a deep shock to her, and it turns real in another whole way for her. Mm-hmm. And so all of those things were things I wanted to explore and understand a little bit better. And so by writing about them, I tried to come closer to that understanding.
Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting part of the story. And those military defense contractors were in the news a lot during that time, and actually after Katrina too. They're hired to come in and deal with the aftermath of disasters and work as security, mm-hmm. right? Like Halliburton mm-hmm. and Blackwater and all of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was interesting that the sort of hero of the story is working for a company like that.
Yeah, well, it's actually a company in her case. It was a company that was sort of, there are lots of different kinds of needs that are met, you know, that people can put together ideas for. And they were verging into the security area, I think. There were also companies there for a while that provided information. They provide systems, or they provide pieces of the whole puzzle. And they're sort of subcontractors to the contractors to the,
right,
you know, ultimate buyers. So there's this whole chain of things that go on. And there were people that were being hired to do everything from translation to washing dishes, you know, mm-hmm. at the various places. And and some of this was at the back of my mind was an encounter I had of all times when I was flying out of Manchester, New Hampshire. I was visiting my family at home and coming back east. And a gentleman who was going back, you know, he was deployed, but he was home on leave and was a sergeant and was heading back. And he was explaining to the TSI, you know, the security guy, in sort of a slightly, I will call it, judgmental tone,
uh-huh.
about the role of contractors and how they had taken a lot of the jobs away from the service people that used to do them.
Right, and so, they're highly paid compared
exactly.
to what they pay the military as well.
Exactly.
It's still paid with our tax dollars.
Right, exactly.
Because they're exactly. hired by the Department of Defense. I was just, I was happy that we had to revisit that a little bit in this story, and it just provided so much inner turmoil for your main character, too.
Mm-hmm.
So Robbie is her son, Ruth's son. And he's the Marine in this story, and he's struggling with PTSD and depression. But you don't spell that out exactly. You don't call it that. You're learning that this is happening along with the mother character.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn about PTSD in the course of writing this book, and how did you develop this character?
You know, I was a former journalist, and then I worked in the pharmaceutical industry, and so in doing all kinds of things that involved research. So one of my biggest skills coming into this writing of this novel was doing research. You know, I really could do a lot of reading and searching and about what the descriptions and symptoms and all of those things were like. So, but basically, what I had to start with truly was the human aspect of it too. You know, you had to really, and that's not something that you can just pick up a book. You can pick up and read about it, but then making it real inside a character is another whole thing. So I had to climb, you know, understand from a human point of view what that can look like. And my first question wasn't really about PTSD or depression. It was really about young people going to war, what it was like for them, and then what it was like for them to come home. And interestingly, at about the same time I started to write this novel, you could go online and many of the Marines, young Marines and soldiers were doing blogs. They were on MySpace then as well. I think Facebook was still kind of newish for a lot of them at then. But they were in all kinds of social media places, and for several years were writing very honest things, and they were suddenly on YouTube. We had everything from people's handheld cameras taking pictures of pretty gruesome things to news outfits doing the same thing. So you could pretty much watch the war through the eyes of real people. So that was one thing. I spent a lot of time online, and then and encountering people in this way and writing, you know, in some cases corresponding. There was one thing I didn't do. I didn't go interview an vet that had PTSD. And when I was in the early stages of writing this novel, at that point, you know, I wasn't a journalist anymore. I was a novelist, and maybe this is a sign of being a new novelist in some ways, but I felt I wasn't sure where this book was going to go, and I didn't want to exploit, you know, somebody's problem for my book. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't want that perception to be even remotely possible. I wanted to be sure I wasn't doing that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to understand it. I know now that I could have done that. Now I have a different view of that. But I also, what I did, I think actually worked better in the sense that I came at it because Ruth was sort of looking at it from the outside. I was looking at it as a mother would look at it. And I did talk to relatives, and I did talk to, I did do a lot of exposure. And then one of the other things I did is I began to attend larger meetings and smaller meetings that where vets either read their material or talked about very big and important issues, and sat next to and heard the discussion and was able to really absorb an awful lot just by listening. And those were very helpful and important, too. And I think in the end, coming at it from all those different ways helped me, one, really develop the empathy that's required to climb inside the skin of a person that would be, you know, a young person, a young man in this case, although it's certainly not restricted to young men, to find out what I possibly could and try to understand. And I'll tell you, it's the kind of research, it's the kind of effort that I'm glad I had to do for my book, because it's left me in a much better place, a more open place of understanding and wanting to understand.
I appreciated how you told that part of the story, how that character was put forth, because you could almost sense the part of a parenting that includes a little bit of denial. There's nobody that just lays out something like that, like PTSD or depression. Like, here are the steps to deal with it. That's not how the world works. And so you felt that sort of confusion and denial and desperation and all of that with those characters. So I wanted to talk a little bit about your connection to Western Colorado.
Okay.
Because you're coming out here and your son lives out here. And can you tell me about how Western Colorado was part of this story, the connection here?
Well, you know, one thing the obvious thing might be to say is a lot of ways you can drive east from San Diego. But it's hard to find one that doesn't take you through Western Colorado. So that was actually good news for me because Colorado has been part of my life since my son was 16, and he's 41 now. He's been now in the Grand Valley for a long time, and we visit regularly. And then on more than one occasion, we drove, of course, out there and had a lot of fun driving the route that was becoming clearer and clearer to me as I was writing it. So when I was writing the part of the journey where Ruth and another main character, Casey, set out, I knew sort of how they were going to go, and I could visualize it, and it really helped me with the descriptions and the feeling of it. It also helped me really get into the writing of the book, because that was a part of the book where they're setting out, and I was starting on very familiar ground, and it kind of helped. So I associate Western Colorado probably because of the time I spent noodling on the draft there,
mm-hmm.
and also the trips that I've made there. It's like, you know, oh, I got to see a part of my book every time that I traveled there.
I want to write a book where it requires me to go to, like, really beautiful places in Europe, so I can...
There you go.
So what do you want people to take away from this story?
Everybody's going to get something different from this book. If you're a mother reading this book, you're going to have one reaction. If you've been a son, and I've talked to some veterans who've now been thinking about their mothers in different ways after reading the book, it's going to be another thing. I think if there's one thing, or if you're a civilian reading it for the first time and you're thinking, I've had people say, I never thought about it this way. And I think if there's one thing that I would like everybody no matter what side of the equation they're on, to say, I want to think about this more. There is a way for us to connect. What I'd like for people to get from this book is just mainly to say, oh, I didn't realize. I'd like to know more. You know, I think those are the things that I'd really like for people to do. But I've written what I hope is a story that will be compelling for them, regardless of whether they take anything like that from it or not. My experience is that stories stay with you in ways that you don't anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the real impact of them comes later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I cared so much about Robbie, the veteran that comes mm-hmm. home, that will stick with me
mm-hmm.
for sure. Here I am trying to sort of work out a way to help a fictional character, you know,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
if only he had, you know, mm-hmm. he starts to go down the path of expressing himself through writing some journal entries. And I think about, you know, Operation Revamp and what kind of therapy that could be for a veteran. It's such a great way to support local veterans by supporting something like Operation Revamp.
That's a wonderful thought to keep, you know, to have, mm-hmm. a wonderful connection to make, because it for so many, it can be so helpful, regardless of when they start it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
What do you think that people can do to help veterans more?
You know, the single biggest thing in my experience is, and I'm, you know, very, you know, there are people who do a lot more every day, and I'm admire, just ask. Look and see, and see what's around you in your community to support. You know, I think start with where you live. Start with where you live, because what thing that's really been apparent to me is that, as invisible as I thought things were back in the East when I lived there, but that was just probably as much me and the life I was living, not necessarily where I lived. You know, if you look around, you can find people who've been affected by this, and you can do something either by supporting an organization like Operation Revamp or other organizations like the Veterans Writing Project, which is a national organization with many local chapters. There are many organizations aimed at helping locally and at the state levels, helping vets, you know, find housing, find jobs. And if you have connections or skill where you live and can see something to do to help, do it. And I think that's one of the biggest things and easiest things that people can try to do. One thing in one place. Making that connection can make a big difference.
I've been speaking with Elizabeth Morrow, who wrote a novel called Casualties, and she's going to be doing a book signing and a fundraiser for Operation Revamp. It's going to be on Thursday, May 19th at the Peach Street Distillers in Palisade. That's this Thursday, May 19th. And I encourage people to look into Operation Revamp and what they're doing, because I think it's really innovative and it seems like it's helping people. So thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much, Allie. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Allie Lightfoot.